Troubles 101.
I think there must be a time limit to how long you can have a guest on, and I'm assuming that's why you get booted.
It's no, because it, I run a different like a different pod, and it's we're on there for like over an hour or something. Do that. It's just sometimes it just happens.
Well, I think we should talk about NXT, which to me was the highlight of the week and maybe longer.
Yeah, I agree. NXT is really stealing the show every week, and I feel bad for people who aren't watching it. I really do. And choosing to go with AEW, I think moving to Tuesday is going to be the best thing that can happen for them, and really showcase this. This was like awesome. Let's do the rundown, Ryan. I don't want to jump the gun with any.
Yeah, I know. Dude, this show had me ready to run through a wall when I was done. This show got me pumped up. It got me so excited, like from top to bottom. I will say one thing. AEW got almost everyone involved in their show, and I wasn't invested in most of them. NXT got everyone involved in this show, and I was invested in every single person. From top to bottom, every segment, every match. So, the first match was Dakota Kai, Raquel Gonzalez versus Stark and Io Shirai. And the thing that stood out to me was that they said that this was the best women's division. And so I was like, oh, maybe that's a little shot at AEW. And when that match was done, I kind of agreed. I was like, you know what? They're right. This is, I don't care if you're talking about Raw, SmackDown, AEW, whatever. This is the best women's division.
Zoe Stark, man, did they hit a home run with that girl? That girl is going to be a star in NXT. She's got the look, she's got the in-ring ability. They hit a home run with her, and I've seen a couple of her promos and stuff. She's the real deal. Io Shirai, look, she's carried that title and she's done well with it. I think, to be honest with you, I think she's done better promo work than Asuka did when she was in NXT. And really, Asuka was really wrestling based because she had a language barrier. But I with Io. Raquel Gonzalez, Dakota Kai, those four women right now, yeah, it's better than mostly everything that AEW even has on the only AEW has on the roster is Britt Baker, so they can't even talk women's division.
And that's just that four.
Yeah.
They're not the only four,
No.
because we could talk about a lot of other girls in NXT that are great too. Like every girl in this match, like I'm coming around on Kai. That her size thing kind of like it's hard for me to get over sometimes. She looks like she could snap in half any second, but I'm coming around on her. Io Shirai, I totally agree. I cannot wait to see her versus Asuka. I think she's kind of like a more improved Asuka.
Yes.
And same thing with Stark. Stark's going to be a huge star. Gonzalez, she's great. This was I thought this was a good open to the show. I was invested the whole time.
No, solid match. Enjoyed it. Really, really good match.
And then they showed a package that supposedly was video footage from what happened. I think they said it was yesterday, which was Cole and O'Reilly brawling in a dojo. And if you looked at the wall on the dojo, you notice it was the Gracie Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu dojo.
Yes, it was.
So I thought that was a great touch. And just the fact that they took it outside of the NXT arena and they went and did a shoot somewhere else, just like last week with the whole police thing, it gave it a little bit of realism. I felt like a grown-up watching wrestling for a change. It was I just thought it was a nice little touch. It was good.
Nice little added footage to probably. And I'm gonna say it's definitely gonna be a show stealer. Those two know each other very, very well, and that could steal a show of WrestleMania week right there, that match.
Yeah. Then they showed O'Reilly coming into the building, and Strong approached him, and O'Reilly pretty much told him it was over, and Strong said, "You and Adam can go to hell."
Adam can go to hell.
That was cool.
Yeah.
And we got an LA Knight promo, which was a great promo. And every time I hear LA Knight cut a promo, he just sounds exactly like The Rock to me, but I don't mind it.
No, I don't mind it. I think LA Knight's gold. I really do.
Then we had a Devlin promo. Yeah. Promoting his match, which was good too. I was invested in that. And then they got right into the match with Reed versus LA Knight.
Yes. And I thought that was a really good match. Kept me entertained. It wasn't complex. It didn't have to be. It was a really good match. And boy, can Bronson Reed really jump from that top rope that high, man?
Dude, you know what? Everything you just said is exactly what I wrote down for my notes on this match. I was thinking the same things. My takeaways from that match was the throwback styles, how you had a classic big guy, and then you had LA Knight, who's just like, you know, you're just run-of-the-mill average wrestler who can pretty much do it all, but he's not doing flips and spins and all the fancy shit.
Yeah.
And it was just a great old-school match. And that, I think it's called the Tsunami Splash or something, or whatever that Reed did, man. That that was great.
Yeah.
Both of these guys are great. It was a great match.
Yeah, them two, and you know, they're not finished with each other. It was a great match, and I like the storytelling they got going with that.
And I seem to enjoy matches like that a lot, like kind of like when you get like a McIntyre and a Sheamus, or it's like the pure wrestling guys that are doing it the old school style. There's just something about it. They didn't have to do any high flying stuff. We didn't have a million false finishes. It was just a good solid match. They told a good story.
That's it. One finish did the job, and it ended up being really well.
Then they announced the triple threat tag team match, which is going to be MSK, the Grizzled Young Veterans, and La Legado Fantasmo. I always forget their name.
Yeah.
For night one of TakeOver.
Yeah,
which it's a pretty good match.
I would.
That sounds interesting to me. I know you'll be rooting for MSK.
No, I think they're going to give it to the Grizzled Young Veterans. I think they're going to take the titles.
You think so?
Yeah, I didn't think MSK was going to beat Larkin and Birch. Sad that they got hurt. Birch got hurt. It's going to be out for a while, but. The one thing about NXT is they have good tag teams, so I wasn't worried about. I figured it was going to be these three, and these three are really good tag teams.
So I'm a big fan of the Grizzled Young Veterans, but I feel like it's going to be MSK.
It could be MSK. So
we'll see.
But just the swerves that they do here and there, I could see them like, all right, you guys won the Dusty Cup, but we're going to give the tag titles to. The Grizzly Young Vets.
That's true. That would make sense.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the little swerves that they do.
But the fact that you don't know for sure is what will make it good.
Exactly.
At least we don't know.
Yeah. They could give it to Phantasmo, by all means. I could see that happening.
Yeah. After that, they had Larkin versus Cross.
Yeah, which was a solid match, a hard-hitting match. I had no complaints with that at all.
No, that was great. Larkin did a great job selling for Cross, and Cross looked strong.
Mm-hmm.
And then he cut that promo after.
Yeah.
And Balor came out.
Balor came out, and I mean, what can I say about Balor's promo work besides – guy's been the best wrestler in the business right now, and there's nothing. He's the complete package. There's really not much I can say about Finn Balor, and that Cross and Balor match is going to be a show stealer any day of the week.
To me, this is like a WrestleMania main event. And the one thing that bums me out that just dawned on me when that segment happened, I was thinking of how excited I was for that match. And I'm like, man, I can't wait to see this match in front of fans. And then I was thinking about it. I'm like, I don't think they're having fans at the NXT shows because I haven't seen any commercials or anything online about tickets for NXT.
No.
So I don't know what they're doing, where they're doing it. Maybe I missed something, but I'm kind of bummed now thinking that this might not be in front of fans.
No, they should throw them a bone and give it the Thunderdome feel and let them do it in the Thunderdome, at least with the virtual fans.
I thought being in Florida, they would add, like, I mean, because even NXT has some fans. So I Googled to see if you could even buy tickets and nothing came up. So
yeah.
I'm assuming.
I know that they're doing it in front of fans in some aspects. I'm hoping they'll do it some type of virtual thing with it, and because they deserve at least that for this show.
It just sucks to me because to me, this I am so excited for NXT that if I had to pick fans at WrestleMania or fans at NXT, I'd pick fans at NXT.
Yes, 100%. 100%.
Then they announced this 12-man battle royal, which is going to go into a gauntlet eliminator with 12 men. They've got Reed, Loomis, Ruff, Knight, Kushida, Theory, Russ, Strong, Scott, Grimes, Dunn, and Atlas. And whoever wins the 12-man battle royal, the six remaining wrestlers in the battle royal will go on to the gauntlet eliminator. And then that winner will face Gargano for the North American title. Which
I think it's gonna be Pete Dunne. I have a feeling it's Pete Dunne out of all of them. But again, the swerves they give, it could be him. I know LA Knight's in it. I know Bronson Reed's in it too. I mean, I don't know. I got a feeling. I have a feeling there's gonna be a little funny like switch. We'll get into it though.
The thing to me that stood, like, I got excited for this one because they got creative. They got like a battle royal, but then it goes into a gauntlet match, which I thought was cool because they could have just gave us one or the other.
Yeah.
And then when I saw 12 people and I read all the names, I'm like, I like everybody in this. The only person I'm like partial to is like Jake Atlas, but like Reed, Loomis, Ruff, Knight, Kushida. Like, I'd be happy with any of these people winning. Grimes,
yeah.
Dunn, Strong. Like,
yeah.
Or maybe not the Russ guy. I'm not too into the Russ dude, but.
Yeah.
But I mean, to have a 12 match like that, usually when they have match, like Rumbles like this, there's a lot of filler. There's a lot of guys you know, like, aren't winning. But I could see any one of these guys walking out of there.
Yeah. So the breakdown of it is there's going to be a battle royal when it's down to the last six. That's going to be the order of the gauntlet. And then they're going to have the gauntlet on day one. And then the winner of the gauntlet on day two will face Johnny Gargano.
Oh, I didn't catch that part. Yeah, so that's even cooler.
Yeah, they made it technical but interesting. I like the way William Regal constructed this.
And after that, we had Kushida promo. Oh, he was just talking about the battle royal itself.
Yes.
And then we have Drake Maverick versus Walter.
Yes. And this is what I wanted to get into with the weird swerve. But yeah, we all knew what was happening to Drake Maverick when Walter walked in. Like, we knew, you know, I love Drake Maverick. He plays his role well. He's been this way since Rockstar Spud. Walter came in and took care of business. And then I believe a certain Ciampa came out.
Yep.
And I love the way Ciampa promos, especially when it comes to titles. He goes, and when he looked at him and said, "You don't intrigue me, but that intrigues me." I know Tommaso Ciampa says he wants to go to the UK and work out there and do some work out there. This is a perfect way to get him over there. I think you're going to see, and I think it's going to be funny because the trade-off is going to be Pete Dunne. And I think Pete Dunne wins the North American Championship and Ciampa wins. Ciampa wins the UK Championship.
Well, I saw somewhere that I don't follow NXT UK, but I guess Walter is defending his title like 2 days before this match with Ciampa.
2 days before, yes. And I think.
So if he loses, does whoever he's facing go against Ciampa?
No, I think you can just pretty much know that Walter's not going to lose that title. And they promote that the longest reigning UK. And it's going to, I think when they stop promoting that as heavy as they do, you know that it's about to switch.
I honestly thought that they were going to give Maverick a little bit more of a fight. I was glad that they didn't and that they just squashed it. That was more believable.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that's going to be a dog fight, and a lot of people are excited for that Walter Ciampa because they're real hard hitters, both of them. They're very hard hitters, and I think it's going to be a great match.
Definitely. Then we had Blackheart and Moon, who I call Black Moon,
Black Moon.
versus Aaliyah and Martinez with what's his name?
I
God,
guess
what
it's
is
better than Ember Heart.
his name?
Oh,
Which was a good, it was a decent match.
Rod Stone.
Is it
Robert
Robert
Stone,
Stone?
yeah, the Robert Stone brand.
Yeah. They did a little segment before, earlier when they were trying to get Martinez to be Aaliyah's partner.
Yeah.
And she said, "You got to give me the other half of the money after the match." And he was freaking out because he didn't have any more money.
Yeah, I think you know it's funny because like I forget about Martinez and I shouldn't because she's a really great worker and she was just in the main event not too long ago and for the women's title I think that girl does a lot of good work and WWE may want to think with this Peacock deal and all this stuff maybe just not segregating the women, but maybe just giving them their own show for an hour on Peacock and letting like just and it's all brands, let them go there, you know, do some random mix-up matches. I think it'll be good for the women's division as a whole.
Yeah, that would be good. And supposedly, I don't know, I keep hearing that they're going to be unveiling some new show or something with this whole Peacock thing after WrestleMania. So
Well,
I don't know,
maybe it is
maybe.
that.
And then after that was Gargano and Regal backstage. Gargano was losing it on Regal for stacking the deck against
Yes.
him. Well, at least in his
Yes.
eyes.
And he's actually got it pretty easy because he's got a guy who's just ran a gauntlet and a battle royal that's got to come face tonight.
That was great. I loved how when he was walking, storming out of the office, he's like, "And I'm not shutting the
Not
door."
shutting the door. I like Johnny Gargano as this funny
Yeah.
heel. It works for him.
He's great. Oh yeah, we had the Moon and Aaliyah Martinez. Oh, okay.
Yeah, we.
Oh, during that tag match, again, they mentioned, I noticed for the second time, they mentioned greatest women's division. So this is the thing that they're pushing. This is definitely a thing towards AEW, and they're saying, "Hey, we heard what you said. You want to go and flaunt your women's division because you had one great gimmick match with Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa, but we're still the best women's division," and I agree.
Yes. Yes, I think, you know, they had a good match, but they don't have a lot of like look, I mean, you can count on one hand who the talent is for the women on AEW and it's Britt Baker, Thunder Rosa, and I think the Jade Cargill is probably those are the three ones that I would say are the best ones.
Yeah, and I love what's her name too, Big Swole. But I guess the reason she's been off apparently is she's got some health issues. She's got problems with Crohn's and other things. So it wasn't just them forgetting about her.
Yeah.
But I don't know what her health situation. I don't know how reliable she's
yeah,
going to be.
And she's also married to Cedric Alexander, I believe. Yeah,
Yep.
I think they're married or dating or whatever.
The Red Velvet girl too, I think, is good. I think her and Cargill are gonna do good things together.
Yeah, the Red
Hopefully.
Velvet girl isn't bad. I think she's, I like to call her Brandy, who can actually wrestle. I mean,
You said it, not me, but I was
I'm
thinking
gonna
it.
say it because that's exactly who she is. This is if Brandy could actually wrestle, it would be Red Velvet. So I wouldn't, you know, it's just in my opinion, she's good. I think she does need some polishing, but I think she's gonna be good.
They kept Cameron Grimes off TV the past couple weeks, but he was on for a quick backstage segment in the locker room with Roderick
Yeah.
Strong. He was trying to buy the rights to Undisputed
Yeah,
Era
seems.
to all the merch.
What can I say about Cameron? When he gets called up, like, it's going to be Santino epic funny stuff that he's going to do in WWE.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. To the
I really, yes. I really like the stuff Cameron Grimes is doing.
And they had a little backstage thing with Ember Moon and Shotzi Blackheart and Candice LeRae in the way. And so that match looks like it's going to be coming down the pike. It looks like they're going to be getting a tag title shot.
Yes. I think that should be announced by next week.
Which, that will be great. And they announced night one of NXT is going to be Io Shirai and Gonzalez, Walter and Ciampa in the three-way tag match. And night two, they're going to have Gargano and whoever emerges from that gauntlet. They're going to have Cross and Balor and Escobar and Devlin.
Yes, which we didn't talk about that with Michaels coming out. With the Devlin Escobar.
Because that happened. Oh yeah, that happened. That happened.
Okay, so that's where we're at. Okay, I just wanted to make sure we were at the same.
Yeah.
So yeah, so I mean, great stare down. Have Shawn Michaels come out, two belts, one winner. Shawn Michaels would be perfect to announce that.
And he slides the ladder in the ring. It was just great. It was just great storytelling.
That gave me.
It was such a great use of Michaels. I got goosebumps.
That gave me goosebumps. I really did. It brought me back to that era, and that really started what wrestling was really like. It was just great wrestling, and that right there was perfect. And you couldn't have done it. Now they got to live up to this expectation, but I think they will. I think both of them are really, really good workers.
Yeah. That was one of the the cherries on top of the night tonight was that moment. Devlin and Kushida had a hell of a match.
Yes, they did.
The show was just from top to bottom. This is like what I'm looking for in a wrestling show. They gave me a little bit of everything, and I was invested the whole.
It was almost
night.
Like a pay per view. Christ's sake, it was good.
Yeah, and you know one thing I noticed during that Devlin and Kushida match was Devlin did a moonsault off the ropes out onto the floor, and I was like, I actually cared about it because you know it was like the first aerial move of the whole night, and this was like towards the end of the night. I'm like, wow. I'm like, you know, it actually matters when you don't see a million of them.
Yeah, when it's not thrown in your face every match. Wait, that's the thing about wrestling and the misconception with these fans is too much of anything is bad. Too much of any. Too many great matches is going to make you expect great matches, and that's where AEW is going to have problems when their pay-per-views don't deliver.
And it wasn't just a moonsault either. It was a damn good
moonsault.
It was pretty impressive. Even if they had 20 of them, it was
impressive. Definitely was impressive.
Oh yeah. Oh, so it must have been after this because now I have it here in my notes. Escobar and Devlin, and then HBK came in. So yeah, we had it reversed, but still.
This is when I put my son to bed, so I'm assuming like that I missed something, but I did see the Escobar Devlin. and then I knew it was coming up with the Shawn Michaels coming out. So
yeah, because I think what happened, Escobar came out at the end of Devlin and Casillas match.
Yeah.
And they faced off in the ring, and then that's when HBK came out. But, yeah, I was already excited for that match, and then that whole little HBK thing just got me
hyped up. Yeah, it really highlighted the match, and, you know, that's how you use a veteran AEW.
And then, man, O'Reilly and Cole. For the contract signing, this was the best contract signing I've seen in years.
Yes, by far, absolute, beautiful, beautifully done. And look, I'm gonna just go out and say it. When I tell, there isn't a person on, and people can hate me for this and say there isn't a person on the AEW roster right now that could do the promo work as those two guys are doing right now and do the match work to back it up. That match, that match, in my opinion, is going to steal the show. I really just that.
Between that, I don't know which one I'm more excited for, that or Cross and Balor, but this one feels like it's got a little bit more emotions in it.
The fact that they're doing those two matches in the same night. For night two, I thought they were going to split it up.
Yeah, it's the co-main event.
The co-main event is those two.
So I don't know who's gonna be on last. I would assume it's gonna be, it's gonna be Balor.
I honestly think I might. I honestly think I may just prelude that before that match because of the chemistry with the Undisputed, and you know, the big thing is. I think Bobby Fish returns to help Cole. And I think that's the big turn, right? Because Fish has been with O'Reilly, they've been partners. They, you know, I think O'Reilly comes back. I think Roddy's gonna be involved in some aspect to for both of them to give a payback to both of them, and Fish is gonna be the X factor.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of just he's been sleeping. We haven't heard nothing from him, and they're doing a good job of keeping him out of everything. They haven't really mentioned him.
He was dealing with injuries during COVID, and he's back, and he came back for a bit, and he tweaked something. He said he should be a go for this takeover. Yeah, I think he plays an important role.
But I like that they haven't even mentioned his name or anything, because that when he does get involved, it'll. Sometimes when they hint things too many times, it's like, ugh, now you just know what's going to happen, and I'd rather not know what's going to happen.
Exactly.
So it's just the attention to detail in the NXT is just above everything else, man. I mean, like, just even on the contract signing, like, before O'Reilly and Cole even cut a promo, fucking Regal. Like, Regal coming out there and screaming and yelling, and just the whole freaking speech he gave before they even cut a promo had me ready to go.
Yeah. And them two, like, this is, you know, this is the perfect ending to the story. And this is how you break up a faction and do it right. Like, this is the perfect ending. They've been dominant there for, what, 3 years? And... maybe four. I think it's even 4 years. They've been dominant there, and this is how you break them up. And this is the storytelling that's involved. All of this, it's going to be good.
It's been flawless, man. This is like the blueprint of how you do it. And like, Cole just blew me away with his promo. Like, Cole just killed it, man. He got me like so invested in this. Like, I felt it, man. What he was saying, what O'Reilly was saying, I felt it. I believed it. Like, I even caught myself for a minute, like playing with my nails and clenching my jaw, like on the edge of my seat. I was like, man, I haven't felt this in so long.
Yeah, it's stellar. And I truly think that this is really going to steal the show here. It's got the writing on the wall. And I've never seen a bad Kyle O'Reilly match. I've never seen a bad Adam Cole match. But them two together is going to be balls to the wall, like edge of your seat, ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, O'Reilly's just improving so much, just so fast. They're giving him the ball and he's running with it. I mean, just the whole thing of him explaining, like, I became a better, one of us became a better person, and like,
Yeah.
it just, it was a really clever way of making him even more of a baby face, but still not making him look like a
Yeah.
wuss.
Yeah, the
And
I sold my soul to you and I want it back.
yeah, it was just, the whole thing was great, man. This is one of the best shows out of any show I've seen in so long. This is like one of the few weekly shows I would actually probably could sit down and watch this again.
Yeah, and this is why I tell people how I rank when I rank the show orders. It's NXT far above everybody else, SmackDown second, and then a tie for third is Raw and AEW with the slight advantage to AEW because it's just newer and interesting, and then TNA just falls off the map. But it's to me, when it comes to wrestling and what I'm intrigued in, and the only reason why I actually watch TNA is because I can't watch this many reruns through the week because my son wants wrestling on TV all the time. So I throw on TNA and I'm like, oh, that's how I keep up with it. But it's to me, when I like watching NXT and then watching everything else, it's like I'm far and beyond more excited for NXT than I am any thing in wrestling, probably for the next 6 months right now. There's nothing that you can get me on SmackDown that would get me over the moon about what NXT is doing right now.
Yeah, and to me, it's not a developmental show anymore. I know it is, but it's just not like I really see. I can't recall one time really seeing anybody in an NXT ring that looks like they need more work or shouldn't be in a ring. And these are people that are still in the
Yeah.
performance center. It's
Yeah, nothing. I mean, and they just keep funneling in talent. I mean, after this, you're gonna see Taya Valkyrie. You're gonna see Rick Steiner's kid get called in. You got the Brock Lesnar lookalike, and who actually can they say he can work, and he works really well. You got quite a few people that they're bringing in, and they're gonna rotate and. You know, no matter how many drafts and people that they lose, it just always gets better. It doesn't even matter. Like you're not worried for NXT, no matter, you're more worried when they get called up if they're going to get utilized right.
And I think that's one of their strengths, is that they're constantly bringing people out and bringing people in, is because it's never going to get stagnant. If they still had the original NXT roster, we'd probably be sick of it by now. But the fact that they keep shuffling in new talent, it keeps it fresh all the time. And it kind of makes you think, like, where would wrestling be today if we never lost all the territories? Because
Yeah.
to me, they were kind of there for a
Yeah.
reason.
Yeah. And you look at it and it's like, I mean, who's the first inaugural champ was Seth Rollins, right? Seth Rollins was the first NXT champion.
I
Yeah.
believe
I mean,
so.
so
I can't even remember what I ate for lunch
just,
today.
I mean, you're going back that far and like Corey Graves was still wrestling. Like and since then, I mean, we were watching that and it was good then, and it's gotten to this level where it's just it's absolutely amazing, and the talent shuffles and some stay, some go, but like it's, I mean, the what Ciampa, Gargano, and Cole did with NXT was they legitimized it. Whereas guys, certain guys that got called down, so to speak, to NXT, like what's his name, Fandango and Tyler Breeze. Had their best run in WWE there. Finn Balor reinvented himself and he is showing everybody like who he really is. And it's just a, you know, that promo he cut on Cross where he said, you know, when I stopped caring about what people think is when I started to become a better wrestler. And that's, I mean, it's kind of true. Like he just came in on a whole different level and he's absolutely destroying it down there.
Yeah, it's been an amazing year from him. And I think Triple H should have got Booker of the Year, not Tony Khan.
Yeah, I
But
agree that Triple H should have won Booker of the Year by far, but Dave Metzler is just, I could do a whole segment on him, a whole show on him. He's upset because Vince wouldn't give him the time of day, so he's done everything he can to riot the fanboys that he has to make it seem like Vince. And at the end of the day, this has nothing to do with Vince. It's Triple H, and Triple H is doing a good thing. The last thing I wanted to bring up, which is notable news in a sense, because every time Stephanie was asked this, she's always shot it down and said, he's never going to retire. It's never going to happen. When, you know, he's going to die before he retires. Stephanie was asked, what is the exit plan for Vince McMahon? And she actually broke it down, which makes me believe Vince is seriously considering moving on. You know, he's made all this money. There's not much more he could do with the business. It's time to give it to the kids and let them play with the toys. So I think that's notable news in a sense, because she's every time she's been asked this for the past 5-10 years now, and she's like, he's never going to retire. It's never going to happen. We're all going to have to work together. And now they actually, she told in an interview that they do have an exit plan for him. And it, you know, that is something that they've worked out. What's your thoughts?
Did she go into
detail? She did. She went into detail saying that it's going to be a three-way split between her, Shane, and Triple H. Triple H does have a spot of ownership in the company, and that they're going to they're going to restructure the shows and who's going to get what and who's going to do this. And she said, as far as Triple H, will have a like they'll all have a say in everything, but Stephanie's going to run Raw. It's going to be Triple H and Shane running SmackDown, where, because they, you know, the one thing about Shane is, yeah, he worked in the business, he did, but he doesn't really want to be involved in that end of the business. So he just kind of wants, like, you know, and then Vince would just be on the board and giving his input to certain things.
Yeah, I would think that that's a good scenario, because just like you said, from what I know about Shane, is he's got a lot of business stuff behind that he does, and I don't know what kind of business, but he's not, like, he doesn't strike me as someone who's going to be there every day booking matches, and I'm sure his involvement would be more financial. Yeah. Like, I just get a split, and when you need me to come in, I come in, and if we have to make big business decisions, maybe he'll be more on the business side of things. But I would think that Triple H is going to be pretty much running the show, because, I mean, if, even if Stephanie has a cut, that's her husband, and I don't think Stephanie's, like, booking anything. I mean, I'm pretty sure it'll end up being Triple H, and he may delegate to people he feels are fit to
do the things. Yeah, exactly. And, like, you look at his writing team he brought in with the Road Dog. Shawn Michaels is a trainer. He does write some programs. And William Regal's actually acting general manager, but a writer on the show. You know, as long as the exit plan includes Bruce Pritchard going away with Vince, I'm okay with it. Bruce needs to go, because I really feel like Bruce doesn't do anything to help. He just enables Vince to be Vince.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm not there when they who does what and says what and does what. So I don't know if he's hurting more than he's helping or whatever. But, I mean, there has been things that I do like on Raw. And if he's behind it, or whoever's behind it, they should go with more of that person. The stuff that I do like. But, yeah, there's a lot of stuff I don't like. And if it's because of him, then
see you later. Well, Bruce, brother, loves you. And that's... So it is interesting to find out that they did talk about an exit strategy, and it is something noteworthy for it. And she's not just saying he's going to do it till he dies. And they actually have come up with a plan, which makes me think, especially too, with like Vince gave his life to this business. I mean, maybe it's time to spend some time with the grandkids, you know? Maybe it's time. You're 75, Vince. Spend some time with the grandkids.
I don't think he knows how. It's all he knows. Like, to the, you always hear when, like, I always hear, like, talent that leaves WWE talking about how they pitched an idea and it was a great idea, but they couldn't do it because Vince didn't know what they were talking about. Like, even, like, the Fiend stuff, supposedly he wanted to get into, like, Illuminati-type stuff, and they didn't do it because Vince doesn't know what Illuminati is. And it's just, like, the dude is just – it's just all wrestling 24/7. I mean, he's working out at 3 in the morning, so I just – I don't see what he would do. Like, he would go crazy, I feel like, in his lifetime.
Yeah.
And, it just feels like he will do it until he dies. And I don't think he's going to die anytime soon because the dude's freaking squatting 22, 45-pound plates. The
dude's like...
Yeah, 75 years old.
It is what it is. But I just think... An exit to have an, I think the XFL was his exit strategy, and then COVID kind of abruptly took that away. I think, and I, because when we watched it, it was actually watchable, it was actually pretty good. I actually enjoyed the XFL the little bit we got to see of it, and I really think that was his exit strategy. And then he took a big hit on that, and then just said, all right. Full force, we need to make this money back tenfold, and he did. And he struck the deal with India, he struck the deal with Fox, he struck the deal with Peacock, and I think he's like, all right, I'm kind of good at this point. We'll see what we're going to do from here.
Yeah, speaking of the India deal, you said great colleague.
Yeah, I think it's noteworthy to bring up, I guess, the Hall of Fame is that have been for 2021. I think Bischoff was the lead. Was he the lead or was he 2020?
No, he's 2021. The first one was Molly Holly.
Yep. And
then it was him. There's someone else I'm forgetting.
Yeah. And now Kane, and then the Great Khali is the other one.
Oh, yeah, great, totally. And then there's some 2020 carryovers like NWO and British Bulldog and Bella Twins.
Yeah,
and,
I'm not even going to get into how mad I am that Hogan's hosting for any.
And now that I remember that they're inducting NWO, I'm thinking that's maybe the reason they're going to have him there for that. So they're going to have him host.
I don't know. I mean, you could have made it. Maybe just a little, like, I don't know. You add Titus to it, but I think you could have done the NWO and Titus and not made it all about Hogan. Yeah. Like, you could have done that. That would have been fine, as long as it wasn't 100% about Hogan. Because that's exactly how Hogan
was. A million celebrities and ex-wrestlers they could have got to host it.
I know. I truly, totally get it. How about having Triple H and Michaels host it? I'm sure people would be fine with that.
That would work.
Having a DX themed WrestleMania, that would have been perfect. I think people would have been happy to have that after 2020 we had. I think a DX themed hosted friggin' WrestleMania would have been perfect.
And that's like a new thing anyhow. Like, what do we even need a host for? Like, how many WrestleManias have we had a host? Like, how many times did we actually see the host last year?
He dropped on the 24/7 championship and had to relinquish it because he signed with the Buccaneers. So I'm assuming that and it's funny because you see Mojo on TV all through that because they were getting Gronk and they were going to build them up. And then as soon as Gronk signed to the Bucks, Mojo was gone. It was just like, you don't see Mojo Rawley anywhere anymore.
Yeah. He was their Gronk guy.
That was it. We were keeping you for Gronk, and it didn't work. Well, that's the rest of the show we got. We'll be back on Saturday. We'll recap SmackDown. We'll any news or spoilers that comes to light, and we will we'll look forward into the week. Ryan, as always, thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Thank you so much. We'll get this uploaded to you soon. And please let us know with feedback. And if you have any podcast names, I'm leaving that open. feel free to shoot them and let us know what you think. All right, we're live here. It's Not Box Sports. We have a lot to talk about with wrestling. We're going to mainly NXT, and we are going to do a quick rundown of Raw and AEW, and we'll lead off with that, and then we'll get right into NXT. Let's recap Raw, shall we? Ryan, what was your thoughts on Monday night?
So we started off with Lashley versus Sheamus, which I thought was a good match. I think Sheamus is just so underrated. He doesn't get enough credit. A lot of people hate on him, but I think Sheamus is great, and he's constantly reliable as a good worker and consistently putting on great matches.
Yeah, I like Sheamus for that fact. You can fill him in anyway. You can put him in a tag. You can put him in the mid card. You can put him in the main event, and it's all believable with Sheamus. I think him and Bobby had a good match overall. Nothing too spectacular. Just a solid match on Raw.
Yeah, the only thing that I didn't understand about this whole angle they did Monday was they had Alexander and Benjamin interfere in the match, and Lashley got mad because he said it made it look like he couldn't beat Sheamus on his own. But then they continued later in the night to have McIntyre versus Alexander and Benjamin to have them banned from ringside, and then Lashley's going around after they lose looking for someone who can take out McIntyre. So it's like in the beginning you were mad because you didn't want to make it seem like you couldn't win without their help, but now you're looking for someone else to help you.
So, yeah.
Just the continuity there was a little off for me, but overall it was still decent.
It almost seems to me they don't know what to do with Lashley, either to go face or go heel, so they're playing this confusing role where I think McIntyre plays a good heel, and if you wanted to, you can move him into the heel role and let Lashley be the face for WrestleMania. But I think they kind of confused everybody with that in the storyline too. What is Bobby? Is he teetering the line? I kind of thought he was going to go face when it came down to it, but at the end of the day, he's asking people to take out McIntyre. I'm assuming he's going to stay heel.
Yeah, and I'm hoping that they don't break up the Hurt Business, because it seems like they're kind of tempted to put Bobby on his own with MVP, and I don't like that idea.
Yeah, it's almost similar to what Paul is doing with Roman, but with I think you just wait till Jimmy Uso comes back. And I think you drop the belt off of Roman and you move him to Raw, and then you do a Lashley Roman feud with the Usos versus Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. I think that's more than fine. You could do that.
Yeah, that seemed to be the main thread through the night was that story. But they after that they had Peyton Royce versus Asuka, which I thought was Peyton Royce's best match she's had so far, and I like the progress she's making.
Yeah, she cut an amazing promo last week on Raw Talk, and I think she's taken some hints from her boyfriend Sean Spears of like, hey, like your closed mouth don't get fed. I gotta come here and I gotta do what I gotta do and make myself get noticed. And I think Peyton Royce put on a good match. I think she's really improving. I think overall that match was a lot better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, and then they had Ripley come in, and she made her debut on Raw, which was pretty good face-off. I thought it maybe would have been a little bit more special if they wouldn't have told us she was coming back, and it would have been a surprise, but kind of nitpicking.
Yeah, they kind of teased it a little bit. Actually, it's funny because I've heard like the fanboys say, now they're mad because Rhea Ripley is getting an automatic push without even wrestling a match in WWE. Here's what kills me. You complain when these NXT wrestlers come up and have to pay their dues. But when they get a someone like Rhea Ripley, they bring her up and put her in the main event at WrestleMania, regardless of the situation, what does it matter? It's just that's just adding credibility to NXT. So why would you care?
And they need stars. They have enough people. They have enough females that need work and need more time. And right now, she's one that doesn't.
Absolutely. She doesn't need time. She's ready right now. She could win the title off Asuka, and it's very believable, and she could hold it for a while. I feel like Charlotte's going to eat a little bit of crow for the quote-unquote COVID situation. So I'm just going to call it in keto 19 is what she has. And she and I think at the end of the day that she's going to need a little crow. Maybe a loss to Peyton Royce, maybe a couple other things, but they're going to humble her a little bit.
Yeah. We also had Miz versus Jeff Hardy, who hadn't been around for a couple weeks, and that led into Bad Bunny smashing Miz with the guitar, setting up the match at WrestleMania, which I was surprised is going to be a solo match.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be a singles match. Yeah, it's a singles match, Miz versus Bad Bunny. I guess Damian Priest will manage him, and Morrison will manage Miz. But at the end of the day, the good spot for Damian Priest to come in, and he's been on a winning streak. He hasn't lost in the WWE yet. Another guy who, I mean, look, it may not be the guy you want from NXT, but Punisher Martinez from Ring of Honor, now Damian Priest is getting a push in the WWE and came from NXT. So might be seeing a little bit of turnaround. I think Vince maybe likes some of these guys that are getting called up right now.
My only question is, why did they go away from the tag match and take him out of it? Is there something that he did, or do they just maybe have a little bit more confidence in Bunny and they think that he can carry a singles match with Miz? But it was just weird to me that all of a sudden it didn't appear that Priest was going to be wrestling, and he wasn't even with Bunny at the time. But
yeah, I find that weird as well, but I'll take it for what it is. And it's, you know, these are the ultimate WrestleMania gimmick matches, and, you know, like LT and Bam Bam and all this stuff. And I just think it'll be entertaining, and I'm pretty sure WWE will find a way to have Priest involved in it somehow.
I like how Bunny laid the guitar in, though, because when Miz hit him with the guitar last week, he, like, gave him a little love tap. It didn't even break. But Bunny came in, just straight smashed it. So.
Yeah. And he's been working with the Performance Center, too, which is cool. He's been doing a lot of training. He's really taking it seriously. So maybe he is moving along quicker than they realized, and they want to, you know, give him the opportunity to have a solo match at WrestleMania.
Yeah. And we had Styles versus Kofi Kingston, which was a decent match. And they had a little bit of mic time with almost Omos, whatever his name is.
I don't, you know, I really don't like his promo work. It's like, I don't know, I kind of like it, but I kind of don't. It's like he's like this lovable, like, he just, when he talks, he's like, my favorite color is mauve. And it's like, it's just like, I don't know. It's like, he can't be a heel. He's like smiling, and like, I don't know how this is going to go.
Yeah, I think they're going to have to turn him, and they're going to turn him on Styles. And he kind of gives me like a Andre vibe.
Yeah. When he talks. Yes. I totally agree with that. It's just, I was like, oh, man, like Omos is definitely – I don't know. I can't buy him as a heel now that he opened his mouth. That's kind of the hard part for me, because he was smiling and he couldn't get away from it. And, he's definitely now he's talking. He's got to be a face moving forward.
Yeah. McIntyre beat Alexander and Benjamin, so they'll be banned from ringside.
Yep.
And we had, I'll go ahead.
No, not much to say on that match. That's what I was
Yeah.
saying.
Yeah, not much to say.
No.
And there was Mandy Rose and Brooke versus Jackson Baszler.
Yeah, that was actually a pretty good match.
Yeah, I like what they're doing with Jax and Reginald too. It like that did that whole vignette they did a couple weeks ago was pretty funny when she took him shopping. It kind of reminded me of like Sexual Chocolate all over again.
Yes, it did. It is kind of funny. I like what they're doing with that, and that little weird connection they have is pretty cool. And kudos to that. I mean, it was funny because I was actually watching Backlash from 2020 this year with my son, and I seen Reginald in the crowd just, and I'm like, oh, he came a long way from that. Rooting in the crowd, Reginald, getting involved in
Oh,
the storyline. So it's pretty cool. I like it as much as I want Shayna to go solo, which I think that's what's gonna happen soon. I would say that this is it's been pretty good for what it is. They've actually defended the belt more than Oscar and Sasha combined. They've actually defended their titles more than them two. It's kind of bringing some prestigiousness to those tag titles.
yeah. Oh, and the dark spot of the night, Elias versus Strowman. No, I'm sorry. Yeah, Elias versus Strowman. Oh, man.
This is where I got angry with WWE, and it was a little quick rant here. You can't shit in the bowl twice and tell me it's the same thing. Like it's the same fucking thing. It's the same as that. You gave me the same match from Fastlane to now. It's same shit, different toilet. Yeah,
It was all of that just to get to Shane McMahon hitting him with a crutch and revealing that he wasn't injured. And it was like, you could have just done that in one little quick segment.
yeah, you could have done that at Fastlane and already built it. Like, why are we stretching these out? Why, like, I will say this, and I hate to say it, Strowman's carrying this feud with his promo work, and it's hard for me to admit that because I'm very critical on Braun and when he talks, and he always fumbles, and he's actually done an amazing job carrying his side of it. But boy, oh boy, is Shane terrible!
He
Is
has, and that's what makes me mad is that if it was anybody else, they could have paired him up with somebody else, and he's doing this great promo work and it's being wasted.
It is being absolutely wasted on Shane just not caring about this. Shane doesn't care about this. He absolutely, I bet you he doesn't even really want to do it, but they had to give something to Strowman because he won the Universal title last year, and they had to give him something for Mania.
Did you hear the sound effects, the train noise?
I yes, the chugga-chugga train when he was running.
Oh my God.
Like, I don't know what that was. I don't know if that was like a shot at AEW subtly for when they had the basketball thing going on in the middle of their thing. I don't know if that was just like a subtle shot, like, all right, we'll just have Strowman do the chugga-chugga and it'll be fine. But I did not like that at all. Like, really? Like, we really got to have the train noise when he runs around the ring?
Sometimes it feels like they're just trolling us.
I do too.
And then the end of the night was the whole Orton and Fiend showdown, which was pretty good. It was decent.
So we got to talk about this rumor really quick that's going around that people are saying that's not the Fiend, that's actually Bo Dallas in there. And I will say this. Eventually, like, they're not going to have the Fiend burned. So he would have to go back to the old Fiend look. So it kind of makes sense. All right. So Bray was the Fiend. He got burnt. Maybe he wasn't. And they do some gimmick where it's actually his brother playing along with it. And he's actually. But I would say, I don't know. I honestly don't know how, where this is going. I don't know how to explain it. But if it is Bo Dallas, they're going to give us what we want in a way that we didn't want it. But it's okay. I think.
Yeah, and when you told me about that, I went back and looked at the photos, and I think it was Bray, but I would love for them to get Bo Dallas involved, and I hope he is involved some way, somehow,
Well,
whether it's
Bo's
that
bulked
way
up
or.
recently. They said that Bo has bulked up. I looked at recent pictures, and it kind of fits the build of Bo. I mean, Bray's a little bit husky, but I don't know. He could have lost weight. He was out for a while. We're gonna have to see. At the end of the day, we'll see. We'll see what happens.
No. So they announced the matches. We've got night one of WrestleMania is going to be Bunny and Miz, Banks and Belair, Lashley and McIntyre. And night two is going to be Fiend and Orton, Asuka, Ripley, Reigns, and Edge. That's what we've got so far.
So that's the Raw part of it, where WrestleMania is starting to shape out. Not too bad. I could see they're probably gonna. And isn't night one the tag match too with Omos in this one?
It could be, I'm not sure.
I think the tag match is AJ and Omos versus the New Day on day one as well, or it might be pre-show to one of them. But I don't see them putting New Day on the pre-show. Or AJ.
Well, who knows with WWE? I wouldn't be surprised.
It's possible. So with that, let's fast track it to AEW. Let's run through this show that wasn't that great either.
Did you get to watch it?
I watched some of it and most of it that I missed a spot or two here and there, but it wasn't that great to me.
Yeah, it was all right. It was a decent show, but I just keep coming back to the same reasons why. I just had to keep having the same issues with AEW. But I mean, they started off with Omega and Sydal, which I just wasn't invested in it. I just saw Sydal in a tag match lose recently. There was nothing there for me to like. If you want to say it was a good wrestling match, then fine. But I'm just not invested in it. And here we go, false finish, false finish, false finish. It just didn't do much for me.
Well, here's the thing, Ryan, is the balance, right? Whereas WWE will force feed you the same match for 6 months, where they'll give you like new matches with no investment in any storylines for like every week. And it's like, can you give me something like, all right, who is he feuding with now? What is the next story he's leading up to? I know Christian got in his face. Is it Eddie Kingston? Who is he going to face next? And at the end of the day, I know he's wrestling at TNA and he's going to win that belt off Rich Swann. But like we don't have any content. Like, to be honest with you, I'm going to say it so far, it's been the worst title run in AEW. And this was supposed to be your best guy to hold it. It's been the worst run, in my opinion. Out of all the titles, out of all of them. And that's, I mean, I even
I
think.
would agree with you, but then I would have to tell you what the best title run was, and I couldn't even tell you that either. So I don't even know if they've had a good title run.
The best one was Moxley. I'll give it to him. Moxley's title run is probably the best run they've had, period. And out of all of them. And then, but this is pretty sad. Like, okay, he's gonna collect belts. He's the collector. He's not the cleaner anymore, and that's cool. But at the end of the day, like, it's still like, I don't know. There's no direction. It was just like, hey, let's throw Kenny as the world champion and see what happens.
And they had a little backstage promo with Dark Order and John Silver and Adam Page, which I like. I love John Silver and Dark Order. I find them kind of entertaining. Then they did Page versus Caesar Bonini, which was pretty much a freaking squash match, but Page looked good.
Yeah, Adam Page is the star of the show, and they got to start realizing that very quickly.
Lance Archer did a promo on Sting,
Which
which,
I thought that was good.
yeah, that was good. I've been liking Lance Archer, the stuff he's been doing lately. When he first came in, and I wasn't too into him, but he's growing on me.
Yeah, he started growing me a little bit too.
The highlight of the night for me was the next thing, which was Britt Baker's promo,
Yes.
and she did the line she had about Mick Foley, said it took him 20 years to do what she did in one night to become a hardcore legend, and
Yeah,
that she put AEW on the map. I thought they should have opened the show with her.
they should have.
After the match she had last week, she's been the talk of the week, and I feel like this was her time to shine. They should have put her front and center in that ring as soon as the show came on.
Yeah, and this is bad booking again with just how they're interpreting the guy. And I don't know, did you see the ending where Tony went up to Britt Baker and was like, that was the most amazing thing, like, and like was really like just like, and she was just disinterested in him.
Oh
There's
yeah,
some weird dynamic between them two.
Oh, I listened to an interview with her and on Renee Young's podcast or Renee Paquette's podcast. It was a good episode, and she loves that place, man. She loves Tony Khan. She loves Tony Schiavone. She loves Kenny Omega. And I don't know, she was saying that like, he came up and hugged her, which is what you're talking about. And she was surprised that he did it because supposedly he's like a huge germaphobe, and she was covered in blood. So that's the love they have for each other.
Oh, okay. So weird. It was to me. It looked really forced and weird. I was
Well,
just like,
because he has to be a fan. He can't, like.
yeah. It's true. But I'm gonna say this: as far as right now, the most overstar you have right now is Britt Baker,
For
and
sure.
you need to put the women's title on her fast. You need to
Fast.
fast, because this isn't gonna last long,
And that's one
and.
of my problems is like, what are you building towards? Your pay-per-views are quarterly. So, like, when you got to do it on TV now. Because
Yeah.
if we're going to wait till the next pay-per-view, it's going to be over by then.
Yeah, you got to give her like within the next 2 weeks, you got to give her a title shot. I mean, though, you could do it during Mania week, but no one's going to care because no matter how many fans will say, oh, how many AEW fans will say they hate WWE and never watch it, they have to watch it. It's like the plague to them. They have to.
They had a backstage segment with Christian, the Varsity Blondes, that Dante Martin kid, and then Frankie Kazarian came out, and Christian and Kazarian had a back and forth, which I thought was pretty damn good. Christian cut a good promo, and Kaz was pretty good.
Yep.
Was to set up a match for next week.
Yeah, just to get Christian on there, get his feet wet, going against Frankie Kazarian.
Yeah, Kazarian had a good line or something. He said, "Hey, what are you doing on Mondays or something like that?"
Yeah, he's like, "Oh, you're not doing nothing on Monday," which is, I mean, cool. Like they like that's fine. You want to make subtle diggers, that's fine. I'm okay with that, and that's the way it should be done. But wasn't that the tag match where the Fosse Blondes got buried by Fuck the Revival or FTR or whatever they are.
Yeah, that came next. They had the Pinnacle. They had FTR and Spears versus Varsity Blondes and Dante Martin. It was a squash match. Then Pinnacle cut a promo at the end. Hardwood cut a hell of a promo on that.
Yes, he did.
And MJF had a decent promo too. But my thing
Wasn't
is like, what? Go ahead.
It's tip like I can see this with MJ. He's gonna get redundant.
He kind of already has for me, and that's what I was gonna say. Like, I know we've seen factions before, like where you got, like two vets and two young guys, and sometimes maybe you don't see the potential at first, but then it gets over in the end, like Fortune and groups like that. But like to me, Pinnacle is supposed to be like a super group, and I feel like all these dudes should have been red hot when they put them together. Like, they let FTR fizzle out. Spears was off TV for almost a year, and then you just stick them together. And now, because I care about MJF, I'm supposed to care about the rest of them.
Yeah, I think this is just another like classic stagnant booking, and it's they're paying for it at this point. It's just this is something you should have done when you brought FTR in the first time,
Thank you,
and
man.
yeah, this is something you should have done when you brought FTR in the first time, and you should have and Shawn Spears, to me, the kid doesn't have it, and this is a wasted spot. It really is. Where I would be more happy if you just took Spears out and put Wardlow in that, like just have Wardlow, FTR, and MJF.
Yeah, they got to build more chemistry. So, because right now I'm not really buying it, and the whole wrestling community is ready to crown them like the greatest faction of all time already. And to me, it's like I need to see more.
It's not even close. It's not even close. Not even close. The Four Horsemen is number one. Number two is D-Generation X. Number three is the NWO. And it's they don't even make the top 10 factions of all time.
They're not even Undisputed Era level to me.
No.
Team Taz got a promo when obviously Taz was saying the new division, but you could clearly tell by the looks on their faces that the Cage is going to be turning face.
Yeah. Doesn't, like, I don't know. Brian Cage just doesn't do it for me. He's just not, he's got the look. He just, he's just not a good mic piece. I'm not sold on him.
I'm not sold on him yet, but I think he has potential. I really love the other dude, Hobbs.
Hobbs,
I
love him. Yeah, Hobbs.
I wish they would give him more time.
Mm-hmm. I do too. I wish they would.
And Starks. I love Starks too. The team testing gets me mad because I like all those guys, and I feel like there's so much more. They could be just doing so much better with that.
Is it me, or is it Starks and Austin Theory, the two Spider-Mans pointing at each other? Like, is it like, am I the only one that sees that? Like they really are.
I just see a little Rock, a little skinny Rock.
Yeah, there's a little bit. And it's funny because, like, Austin Theory kind of reminds me of a little John Cena. And it's just, I don't know. I think both of them are going to be good. It's somewhere down the line.
Yeah. QT Marshall, he cut that promo about being Cody's friend. And then Cody came out and granted him his match, but said he wasn't going to hurt him because he's their friends. And then QT Marshall backed down and was all thankful for getting the match. And what irked me about this whole thing was that Cody had to come out once again with the headphones on to show, oh, look at me, I'm a producer too.
Yeah.
It's like, come on, dude, are you the wrestler or the producer? We get it. You're backstage. You're busy. Like,
I'm not sold on Cody anymore. I'm done with him. I think.
And now that they revealed they're doing a show, a Brandy and Cody Rhodes reality show. So here we go, following the WWE playbook.
Yeah, exactly. And this was the plan all along. Like, you know, as much as Cody wants to sit there and say and hate on WWE and say this is an alternative, he wants it to become the WWE more than anything.
Yeah, it's almost like this is what he wanted in WWE, and he's mad that they didn't give it to him, so now he's giving it to himself.
Cody was mad because Brandy wasn't involved in Total Divas, and that's where it stems from, and people say it's the Stardust gimmick. It's not. It stems from Brandy not being involved in Total Divas, and it had more to do with Brandy than Cody in the beginning, and then Cody just found anything he could to get out of WWE and had a problem with it.
Yeah. Pretty much. Lucha Bros and Laredo Kid versus the Young Bucks and Brandon Cutler. This is when what you were talking about earlier, which is the main thing I come back to with every AEW show. They are all over the place with everything. They make my head spin. I cannot keep track of who's feuding with who, who's in a program with what, who's a team, who's not. It's like, it's too much. Like, so you had Penta on his own. I was liking what they were doing with Penta as a singles dude. I'm like, okay, that's why you split him up. He's good in the singles run. Then you had the Death Triangle thing with Phoenix. Now what? Now they're back together? Where's the Death Triangle thing? You just dropped that now? Like, I can't keep track of all these different combinations.
Exactly. And it's just, again, it's wrestlers booking the show and it not making sense. That's all it is. No wrestler is not going to say no to TV time because they need to get paid. They need to feed their families. So they're going to, you know, when they're coming up with storylines and you have the wrestlers involved, it's let me get on TV. And now it just makes no sense. And you have too much talent, not enough shows. So it's just not being put together properly at all.
Yeah, and then Omega came out and attacks the Laredo Kid in front of the Young Bucks, and then he did the whole thing where he wanted them to join again and gave him a last chance, and he cut a decent promo, and I just don't understand what the point of the useless match in the beginning of the show was. You had him on in this segment. That could have been your Omega segment.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally 100% agree on that.
And they had a package of Jade Cargill calling out Red Velvet, which we've already talked about her before. There's not much to talk about there. I think she's going to be a star,
Yep.
but maybe not in this, maybe not in this company, but she's going to be a
She's
star.
gonna be a star somewhere.
Mox and Kingston cut a decent promo. I love these two together. I'm just not optimistic of what they're going to do with them.
Yeah, I don't know what's gonna happen. It's not even worth about it, it's crazy. TNA's getting stripped of all their belts. The only two belts are gonna be on TNA is the X Division and the women's title, because the Good Brothers lost them to the New Japan tag team, and now they're in New Japan with the titles.
Oh, they did.
Yep. So.
Oh, and so you would think AEW would have mentioned that tonight?
And they don't, no, because it's basically what TNA is a portal for AEW to get more TV time and to flood wrestlers on to access, which nobody cares about. The Kenny Omega actually was on there Tuesday, and the ratings were lower than what they've ever been than what they've been in the past 6 weeks. Matt Cardona is more of a draw when he's on TNA than Kenny Omega is. So, how is this helping?
The next match was Nyla Rose versus Ty Conti. I tried to give this match a chance. This is the one thing I fast forwarded through, because I just don't care.
I don't blame you.
And then Sheeta comes out, the champion, and she hits Nyla Rose with a kendo stick.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why didn't Sheeta come out and hit Britt Baker with a kendo stick? There's your money. Set up the fucking match with those two.
They're not going to do it, Ryan, because at the end of the day, they don't know how to book the women. They want to keep pushing Nyla Rose down our throat, and they want to keep pushing it like Thunder Rosa. And it's like, why don't you push the one person on there that has been a star for you this whole time and has put on great match after great match, and get some free training from Sean when she goes and hangs out with her with her boyfriend? So at the end of the day, put on the girl who knows what she's doing and put the strap on her and see what she does with it.
Yeah. And then on top of that, then like Bunny came out and she got the kendo stick, and then it was just let's just add more confusion now. So I'm not even gonna get into that, because that was another cluster. Then they previewed, they had a little segment with Miro and Kip promoting their match with Cassidy and Chucky T. They called it the arcade something. I can't even tell you what, but they're rolling with the game gimmick still. Mm. And then they let us know that Scorpio Sky is going to be in a match on AEW Dark Elevator or Elevation, whatever the hell it's called, on Monday. So good. I'm invested in Scorpio Sky, but now you're putting them on the show on Monday. I'm not going to watch.
Exactly.
Because you think it's going to make me watch, but it's not.
No, not going to make me watch.
Just like they're also, I think they also are putting Moxley on one of them too, and I'm still not watching.
Nope, still trying to push it, and I don't think I'm going to watch it.
Then they had the main event, which was one of the two main reasons I wanted to watch this show this week. I was excited for Britt Baker, and I was excited for John Silver versus Darby, not because I like Darby, but because I like John Silver. He makes me laugh. He reminds me of your brother.
No.
But... dude, this dude John Silver put on a freaking hell of a match. This match was a great match, and all it did the whole time was show me that John Silver should be the TNA champion. He has more personality than Darby Allin. He's more over than Darby Allin, and the whole match, he carried the whole match, in my opinion.
AEW puts in-ring ability over the actual thing that will make you famous is promo work.
But Silver had the better in-ring ability the whole match too, which was that's what really drove me crazy. Yeah. And then, like, so this dude is super over. The Dark Order are not heels. The fans love them.
Yeah.
But during the match, they treated them like they were the heels because they have Sting come out with the bat, and Sting's protecting fucking Darby. And it's like, so now, you're like, one of the most over guys you have in John Silver, you expect me to sympathize for Darby and be on his side with Sting, when really, like, no, I'm rooting for John Silver this whole match. I think he should win this match.
Yeah.
That's a problem to me. When the guy you want me to think is the heel is the guy I think is the baby and should be getting over.
I 100% agree.
And then, of course, they had to end it with Hardy's faction coming down in fucking interrupting and just adding more to the mix and every other person in the locker room running out and just more confusion.
How many factions are they going to have?
I don't know, dude. And like, Bunny Butcher and Blade are with Hardy now. Like, they were just with the with Kingston. And it's like, I can't keep track of the shuffle. I'm tired of it.
Yeah. Yeah, there's too much shuffling around and too much indecisiveness with AEW. Anybody who says it's a better product than WWE is full of shit. It's better wrestling than the main roster, but not the Golden Goose. It's not.
Niggas rope, don't put your neck in it. Got my troops in off-white boots. Pulled up, I had my foot hanging out the coop. Off-white flannel looking like a lumberjack. With the 30 popper, you don't want none of that. D-square, apron over D-squares. Ronnie Fake, I need size 9 and every pair. Do a nigga filthy for the right price. Don Perry on the lobster and fried rice. Teslas, scrape the pots for the extras. Bodies dropping on the regular. Run laps around these other rap niggas for fun. That fashion week with the M1, y'all niggas bumps. Killer designer, a serial killer. Niggas thought I was just rhyming illa. Then I pulled out the stick, run your jewels, run the money. You try to run and hop the fence. Tore his back up like Junior, nigga, filthy rich. Wash my sins with Ace. A lawyer walk ball, this work is flake. I'm a B-fly, feather, stove work. She sniffing so much molly, that bitch knows her. I was on the path, getting money on the F. Fiends, Millie Rockin', seeing out my work glass. If shit slow up, I'ma look prettier in the mask. The cracks in the chip bag, the Mac by the trash. The 45 look big on his forehead. Shot him more times, left that nigga more dead. One brick, all I need is one brick.